Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities. We have a really good show for you guys today. And our guest, I'm trying to figure out what phone number is our guest, because we have a board filled. If Ms. J wouldn't be so kindly to give me the phone number.
Well, I'm not going to give his phone number out loud on the show. However, I am trying to figure out, because I wouldn't want nobody to give my phone number out on the show. But hold on, because I just reached out to him about it. So, but while we're waiting on him, and if he does not show, I talked to him this morning, but I wanted to talk a little bit while we wait.
Well, and, I need to find out his prefix, accepting Ms. J, so I can let him on.
Well, he knows the select number one. He's told that, so he already knows that. He'd be calling from New York, which would be area code 215 or
202.
But did he select one?
No.
Okay. But we're going to go ahead and talk about some other things in the meantime, because I've done all I can. I've called and reached out. So what I'm going to do is keep it moving, okay, until he calls in, or if he doesn't, I'll bless
okay,
the airport.
Okay,
that's
212. That's him right here.
Okay.
Hello, Mr. Michael Price.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
All right.
Michael,
okay,
I was going to beat you up. You know that, right?
Listen, I was just calling another number off of Trump, and it just kept saying, leave a message. So I went back to the original email, and boom, it was a slightly different number.
Okay, well, you know, I just want to apologize to the audience, because we do have a board field right now. We had a little difficulties, but we back on target. Let's get the show rolling, Ms. J.
Well, first of all, I'm very excited. I'm still excited to have him. He's a brother from another brother for me, and his book is just really honest, and I'm excited to have him on the show. And I think the book, in my opinion, what I've read, is really about inspiring people to think and provoke thought. So I'm really excited to have him. But, Michael, before we get started, since I've been talking about you negatively, why don't you give him something positive, boo, to say?
Life is beautiful. This book here, it came at a time in my life where I really needed to dig in and come up with a different way of sees in the world. So I actually promote the power of perception, because the worst thing can happen to you, but if you look at it from the most positive perspective, that's what you're going to get out of it. If you look at it from the worst, that's what you're going to get, you know, out of it. So it's all on you and your perception. So I promote the power of perception through this book. As you see, there's also pages for people to actually write their thoughts. So I'm promoting the power of journaling at the same time, because this book was written in moleskin journals. You know, I'm not getting paid for promoting particularly moleskin journals, but that's what I wrote this whole book in. There are seven more volumes to this book.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, because I read it, what I liked about it is a couple, I highlighted a couple of things, but one thing that I really like is when you said the subconscious is stimulated, we are made aware of the file that is being pushed into our conscious. And I, that to me, because I always talk about subconsciously, we do things.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't realize how the subconscious mind plays a big part in your consciousness.
Yes, 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 and yes. Now, that volume two is actually a play of the subconscious, so it actually expounds on that right there, because the average person doesn't even know what a subconscious means. You know, so they don't understand, well, we don't understand how it works. So, you know, like I always give an example during my workshops. I say, I ask the crowd, you know, have there ever been a time when you said, I'm going to stop doing this or I'm going to stop saying that? And you turn around and do it the very next day. And, you know, everybody says, yeah, that happens to me. And that's because it's embedded in your subconscious. And you don't control your subconscious. You have to meet it halfway. Like, you have to negotiate with it. And it's abstract. It's a long story, but volume two will go in depth, you know, indirectly, of course, because I don't want to force nothing on nobody. I just bring options to the table. I give people a chance to choose. Okay, you can think like this or you can think like that.
You know, and again, serving, you know, time or whatever, you could have came out and did a lot of things. What inspired you to even make that positive turn? Because that's a drastic change, because I even have family members that have been incarcerated, including brothers, and a brother. And it's really hard sometimes to change that mindset because you get a jail mentality. So what made you, and how did you go from that jail mentality and then to this mentality?
Well, my mother came from the good girl family. My father, on the other hand, was like a certified street person. And he was actually on America's Most Wanted before. But as a young man, he just used to say things to me like he prepared me to go to prison. But my mother was preparing me to go to college, and I was in torn in between the two. And what he said to me, he used to say, you do the time. Don't let the time do you. And I was like a little kid, like, what you talking about? And when I got older, and when I got in that place, my mentality was, look, I'm going to do everything I always wanted to do in my life, and that's go to college. And I self-educated myself. I read Malcolm X. I read anybody from Napoleon, the general, the biographies, and I learned how people, like, were able to use their mind and reinvent themselves, and that was my motivation, to reinvent myself, because I didn't like the results that I got, so I started to do things different. And even inside of there, I stayed away from the bad people. I know it's like an oxymoron, but it's the truth. I reinvented myself, changed my whole line of thinking. I stopped eating meat, I stopped doing certain things, and I just chose. It was a choice. Like, this is what I'm doing. I'm not coming back in there. I'm not coming back. And I haven't been back. I actually signed off 5 years of federal supervised release 30 days ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you so very much.
So what would you say to the guys that just feel like, you know, because I know people and they just say, look, I'm just hood. That's just how it is. You know, like as if they don't have a choice. And, again, you made a choice, but how do you – because I'm reading your book and it's a great tool, but how can someone like that use your book to say, hey, this is it?
First and foremost, somebody who say they're just hood and that's just it, they're performing for the crowd, bottom line. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, all my life. I didn't choose to be who I was. As the federal judge that sentenced me quoted, quote unquote, you're not a bad person. I think you are a product of your environment. So anybody who says something like that, they're performing for the crowd. Because let me tell you something. If you this tough, bad guy, you don't care what nobody thinks. I walked in federal penitentiaries, and, like, people would come talk to me. I'd be like, I don't want to hear nothing negative. You got something negative, please get away from me. Literally. I'm talking about, and I had 10 years, and they had life, and I was talking to them like that. So, you know, it's a choice. It boils down to the choice of what you want for yourself. Like, people don't believe that I actually been in prison because how I carry myself, how I talk, how I look, how I dress. It's a choice. That's what it boils down to, the power of one's perception.
Absolutely. I love it. You know, and like I said, I love the book. It's got great information. And one thing else I wanted to talk about, when you said by letting nature take its course, will yes, because I think a lot of people go against the flow.
Yes.
You know, they say they want one thing, and I'll say the universe, God, whoever you got, you know, that's just how I talk. The universe will put something in front of them, but it don't look like what they want, so they just resist. But it's exactly what they need to get where they want.
Yes, I agree. I also say the universe, you know, me and you are on one accord. When it comes to letting nature take its course, it's hard for people because I want to quote Buddha real fast. The Buddha said that most of our suffering comes from our desires. So, you know, people go against the grain, like as a like inside their mind as a child. And as a child, you want something, so you throw a tantrum. So when you grow up and you want something, and then it didn't come the way you expected it to come, you actually get up, dust your knees off, and keep pushing to find another way to get it. You know, so nature's course is just pointing out, you know, you have, everything is a process. I don't know if you remember that topic, the process in there. Nature's course and a process, they run parallel, hand in hand. And everything is a process. And if you set out to do something or be somebody, you know every single thing is a process. It's not a cakewalk. It's not just going to be given to you. It's not going to be easy. And you just have to know when to roll, when to fold. And that's how you stay from going against the grain.
Yes, absolutely. That's
right.
That's really a
that's
fact.
Right. Michael, I would like to ask you a question. What do you mean when you say unveiling human power? That is very powerful in itself. Explain
that
to the audience,
question.
Please.
Thank you for that question, because I got chill bumps now. I'm getting emotional on this one because, no, seriously, unveiling human power one thought at a time. The average human being don't know that they're telepathic. That they have clairvoyant powers. That, like, they don't know. And you might think, oh, the average person would think I'm crazy for even mentioning it. But, you know, the book will show you how and why I'm bringing this up. But our power comes from our thinking. Our thoughts determine how our day is going to be. Our thoughts determines how our relationships are going to be. Our thoughts dictate whether we're going to be rich or poor. Our thoughts are our whole existence. It's the core of our existence. It's power, literally. And when I say power, you know, you watch I Dream of Jeannie, they make it seem instantaneous, you know, like it's instant on TV. But believe it or not, they was telling you something that showed, like, I Dream of Jeannie and witches casting spells and things like this. Your mind, your thinking is your power. You can be anything you want to be, anybody. You can achieve anything, excuse me. You can achieve anything. You can get anything you want, all from your thoughts. I promise you.
I post that all the time because I really believe in manifestation. and I believe we are what we think we are. You know, and a lot of times I'm one of those people that I don't ask for permission. I may ask for your forgiveness if you don't get it, but I don't ask for your permission.
No.
And I think a lot of people, I wrote a post about personas, and a lot of people have this thing that they have to be what everybody else think they should be instead of being true to their authentic self. And
yeah.
I think a lot of times we get caught up in that because it's just human nature to have to want human approval. And it's really funny, most of the humans that are given approval are lost souls themselves. And they base their approval on you or what you do and do not do based on their circumstances, their situation, and how they think, as if that's the beginning and ending of law. And it's not. We're all individuals with a free will. And so when, again, that was a great question from John, because we have to adhere to that we're individuals. And I may not roll like you, I may not think like you, but if you respect my role, I respect your role.
Yes.
You know, and I think we need to get to that place sincerely. You know, we're very fake at it, you know, long as it's going the way we want it to go. But we should be sincere in letting people be authentically whoever they are. And I think as a culture, too, we really need to work on that, because if we're still on the light skin, dark skin crap, you know, we're still caught in stardom with celebrities and, you know, not seeing them as individuals, but seeing them above us. Or higher than us, but they're just people that got their hustle on and made that money faster than we did.
Yes.
You know,
and it's ironic you say that.
Because,
excuse me, I apologize.
You okay?
But it's ironic. It's ironic you say that because, like, most of my friends are established. Most of my associates that, you know, I'm not going to say they're rich, but they're comfortable. I'm the only broke one in my circle. The only one.
You're financially challenged. Don't use the word broke.
Yes, but I'm rich in spirit. I'm rich in mind. I'm rich in character.
Amen.
Because I will walk side by side, and the whole crew got Rolexes on, and I got a pair of $50 sneakers out of Ross or Marshalls, and my chest is poked out, and my chin is up as high as theirs, not because I'm comparing myself. I love myself.
Absolutely.
I know who I am. I know where I'm at, where I've been, but most of all, I know where I'm going.
Hello.
Yes,
amen.
I'm still.
Absolutely.
You
so
know,
when you
Michael,
motivational speaking, go ahead, John, go ahead.
Michael, I understand exactly what you're talking about, because I've been to a lot of events. And I remember one of them in particular. I was invited to an event with the lady. Her name is Desiree Jackson, and she played on Color Purple. She was Young Seeley, and I was invited in Las Vegas to an event.
Wow.
All these people had all this money, man. These people had money. I'm talking about millionaires. Looked like I was the only broke one over there, but everybody was coming to me and asking me questions, you know. And they thought I was a millionaire with them, but I'm not a millionaire. I say, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And these people respected me, you know, but I was down to earth. So I understand what you're talking about. Man, that's powerful.
Yeah, and you both got to stop using the word broke. You are financially challenged.
Okay.
Financially challenging.
I want to put that to the universe. So all y'all use the word broke.
Okay.
Stop using the word broke.
Okay. I'm not broke.
Okay.
Money.
I'm financially challenged, audience.
Me too, Mike. I'm financially challenged. Hey, look here, but we have a call on the line. Would y'all like to let him in?
Sure.
Okay.
Hello?
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Julie Bond, and I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
Well, thank you for calling.
Julie.
Hey, Julie.
Yeah, hey, Michael.
How are you? Life is beautiful.
Life is good. I'm listening to your conversation, and you sound really good. I haven't had... Excuse me, didn't you have those really expensive tennis shoes on a little while back? And when we were walking in the street and somebody was almost eyeing you up.
Huh?
Actually. Weren't they, Michael? Michael?
Yes. Yes, those were the African-American Black History Month edition of the Air Force Ones. They were copper. Everybody, this is Julie from Baltimore, Maryland. She's one of my church sisters. We are Bible
mm-hmm.
study sisters. I go to Bible study with her, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
I attend her church. But, yes, I did. They were a present for my younger brother.
Right. I'm only giving you a hard time. The reason I called is because you asked me to listen in, and I couldn't get it on my computer. But why don't I wanted to mention the way that we actually met, which was, do you remember?
Yes, ma'am.
Why don't you tell everybody?
I met Julie in Whole Foods with her daughter. I was picking up mangoes. It was a sale the week before. They were 5 for $5, and then they changed from 3 to 5, and Julie started talking to me, and I spoke to her about my book, and she invited me to her Bible study, and I went to the Bible study.
And actually, it's funny because my daughter, who's 22, she knows that every Wednesday we have a Bible study at in Baltimore with all these really young kids, and we planted a church. As you know, in our city, we have over we're sixth the size of Chicago, and I think we've surpassed the number of murders, or we're very close to it. And the one man, Robert, who I drive to church, is disabled, and there have been 7 shootings on his block and 3 murders, one at 4:30 in the afternoon. So we have kind of a rough section here.
Oh,
but the reason I wanted to say about Michael and I know his mom. I've spoken to his mother, and I'd like to ask a question of what your mother's prayers have done to you, and how has her spiritual walk affected you?
Well, my mother's the seed of this book. A lot of these principles that I come up with and research and expounded on. It was my mother's installation. She installed them in me very early, very early. Don't cry. Don't cry. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to get yourself sick. Don't think negative. You're going to bring it to you. So my mother's spiritual walk is actually the foundation of this book. And, you know, I tell her all the time. She thinks that I teach her, but I'm just regurgitating what she gave to me. Thank you, Julie, for that point. I appreciate it.
No, it's because I am a mom of prayers, and you know how the struggles within my life and in my personal life. But I do want to reiterate that in order to soar, we need to have our faith in something of substance. And as I say to our pastor, George, we need to worship the creator and not the created.
Thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate it. You have a great evening. We thank you for joining
Goodbye.
Us.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Julie. You can stay on and listen to the show.
Thank you, Julie.
Okay, we have another caller. Okay, let's let him in.
Absolutely.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, my name is Miss Friday, and I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Oh, how you doing?
Hi. Happy Sunday, everybody.
Do you have a question or a comment, ma'am?
I actually have a question.
Oh,
so
yeah.
My question is for Michael. How do you, what is your goal of releasing, like, the different volumes? And I asked that question because when I just recently published my book, it asked me, would the book be series? And I'm like, well, how do you just do it from the beginning?
So your exact question is how?
Like, what is your goal? Like, how do you plan to, like, release the different volumes of the book? Like, is it like maybe once a year, once every 6 months? Like, how do you, like, how, like, what is your goal, or how did you come up with having 7 volumes, if you will?
I came up with 7 volumes for 7 different years. So each year I actually put together a volume. So my strategy for putting them out is not money-based, but how I can reach the people. I will actually put that same value out 7 different times, you know, if according to how I can reach a body of people, because I guess I could quote Jay-Z best. He's like, you know, I'm trying to give you something for $9.99. You know, I just want to share this knowledge that I got at a time in my life that really helped me and others around me. And, you know, there's no rush. There's no rush. I actually want to get this out. I want people to really, like, grasp this before I go to the next level. So I can't really say. It all depends.
Yeah. I'll piggyback on that. I think it does depend on what you're trying to get out and your time frame and getting it out and what you're trying to say. Sometimes you have so much information it has to be broke down into series of books. And there's other times where you, as Michael's stating, each year he's doing one for each year. So it really depends on the author and what the message they're trying to get out and how they're trying to get the message out.
Exactly. Well, for
yeah,
thank you,
and, right. And another thing too, I just wanted to say this here. I am so proud and so happy that we have so many African American authors, because
yes,
it's about time. We hold so much knowledge inside of us. The caller on the line right now with the area code 202. What is your name again? I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
My name is Miyana McCombs, but I go by Miss Friday.
Okay, Miss McCombs.
Yes.
I'm quite sure everybody don't mind me asking you this. What is the name of your book?
My book is titled How Every Day Can Be Friday, The Secret to
Miyana's
Happiness.
How Every Day Could Be Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So that's a different type of topic. So you would have to just figure out what your message is. You know, I know we're a little off the subject, audience, so forgive us for a minute, but we're always here to help other people.
That's right. Thank you. You have to
determine what your what it is. This Friday you're going to talk about this. Next Friday you're going to talk about something else. But you have to set your own pace. No, and I say that because me and John both are authors. And so I say that to the fact that you have to set your own pace to what you want to get out to the world, especially as an indie arts author. And you just have to decide that for yourself. Like, no one can really, like, give you a guide on that. Whatever your gut says or whatever universe says to you or God, however you get your information, you know, through meditation and prayer, you have to go through it that way.
Okay.
Right. So thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Ms. Friday.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about your mentoring, your, you know, motivational speaking. I call it mentoring because it's the same difference in a lot of ways. So let's talk about that a little bit. The type of people that you do motivate, do you do them from churches? Do you go back to the prisons? Do you talk to the young cats on the street? Is it a variety of all of the above? Let's talk about that a little bit.
It's all the above. Everywhere I go, I'm a walk-in ministry, literally. As you see, Julie, I go to the Bible study. If I'm invited to a mosque, I will go to a mosque. I have a letter from it. From Christopher X in Lewisburg Penitentiary. I still, like, inspire people back inside the place. I was a keynote speaker inside of Lewisburg Penitentiary. All the religious organizations, they will call me to come and speak. So right now I'm just relaunching a book, so I'm just getting back into the group. But I have been to Boys and Girls Clubs. I like the youth. Over everything. I like the youth. I talk to little guys on street corners. I will go any and everywhere, whether it's church, whether it's the subway in New York City. I stay at it nonstop. And right now I'm being booked. I have a contract on the table that I'm negotiating with the New York DOJ for the juvenile justice. I would like to go into the juvenile justice system and catch them young guys, but I would also like to catch the ones that's in high school that's not in trouble. I would also like to speak to the white kids that's in these, you know, not to be ethnic, but the white kids that are in these suburban areas, but they're turning to drugs. You know, I would like to speak to any and everybody because there's no, I'm not cornered in. I'm not boxed in. I grew up in a biracial household. I'm like really universal, and I'm going to stay that way. I want to speak to any and everybody that will listen because this stuff that I share, you speak to people that, you know, like I talk to on a regular basis. I find myself being an unofficial advisor to people, and I enjoy it. It's a second nature, but all of my mother kids are like this. So my mother, herself, and then all of us become focal points, and I guess we like the Levi's of the children. We really have this spiritual thing with us, and I plan to travel the world speaking.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Michael, I really like what you say. And the reason for that is because me and Ms. J at Uplifting Communities Talk Show, one thing we don't do, we let people that's doing positive things in the communities on the show, we don't go by, you know, if they Caucasian, black, whatever. We done had all race of people on this talk show. And that's what it's all about. As long as they're doing something positive,
that's right. What
the talk show is all about. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid point. I'm pro-black, but I'm not anti-white, so let's just be clear on that. I don't lie. I do believe that our communities are now being so intertwined that we cannot just focus on one particular set sometimes. There's people that are not of color in our communities doing great things in our community, you know, and they deserve to be acknowledged as well. So
yeah,
I'm very fair on that level, but I really like the fact to show black men especially doing great things because they get such a bad rap about, you know, black men ain't this, black men ain't that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna say what they say because we're on, you know, radio, you know, but not giving them their props. And there's a lot of black men doing great things. We have a lot of women, so we know the sisters out there, you know, we know it's foot soldiers. But I always try to find guys, too, because for me, I want that balance. I want them to know that every black man is not the same. And we've had several young men that have, you know, been incarcerated that came on the show, and they're killing it. You know, they came out, and they're killing it as far as community is concerned, as far as making a difference is concerned. And I want them to know that, especially guys that have been locked up, that, man, you still got power. And I think a lot of times when we get the system, we come out the system and the world is not waiting for us with open arms and it gets rough. You get hungry. You can't get no job, you know, and you get frustrated. But, you know, having guys like you and some of the previous other guests, let them know it get hard, but you ain't got to stop. You just got to keep it moving, you know, and not give up. You know, because opportunity is waiting. You just got to get to it.
Ms. Jackie, every city I go to, I turn on an app. I do food deliveries. I do handyman work. I got apps. I have jobs. And I also have my books. So I don't stop when it comes to pay the bills. I always like money. I like material things. So I don't stop the grind. I just change my perception of what the grind is.
Right.
That's what they need to know because it's serious. Go ahead, Mr. John.
No, I was just saying I love it. I love the way that, you know, and that's what I think we have to do, you know, is change the way we think about things. And keep a positive attitude, you know, keep a positive attitude. It ain't nothing wrong. And I really do believe that you should put God first in your life. And if you do that, it's going to be a little easier path.
You got to have a faith. If you don't have any substance for foundation, you're going to go for anything. You're going to be wavering. You're not going to understand what's going on, the frustration. And even with faith, you have challenges. But you can always turn back to that faith for that uplift.
Yes, I agree.
That's right.
I agree. In the book, I had to make it kind of universal because, like I said, I don't want to box myself into no particular category. And I got a thank you section, but that thank you section came out of a separate book that I had deemed it was a thank you God journal. And every day I gave thanks for something because another example of the power of perception. When you become grateful for what you have, I don't care what your situation is.
That's right.
I was in an old nasty penitentiary with some nasty people, whether it was God or the people around me. But I worried not, I feared nothing, and I walked like I was on College Avenue in Miami, on the beach, every day. And it all came down to me giving thanks for everything I had right there. I thank God for the soap. I thank God for my soup, for the tuna, for the phone call, the letter that my mom's wrote me or my ex-wife, you know, the pictures of my kids, that my kids were healthy, being separated from them. So I just gave thanks. And once I started to give thanks like that in that journal every day, my subconscious was being reformed. It was reformed. And it was like, I don't know, I don't want to go too deep, but it was like the pineal gland was just like a magnet of attraction and just bringing great things to me, just bringing great things, great ideas. One of the ideas is me on this show right now with all you guys and all the people that I know that's listening to this show. To me, the interview by you guys on the show, and it all came from me learning to be grateful for what I have.
Yeah, and that's a powerful statement because I got a gratitude app too, and every day I have to write what I'm what I'm thankful for, what I'm grateful for, and in the evening you have to write some other stuff. But it does change the power of thinking, and I think that sometimes we get so sidetracked in saying, "Well, I don't do that. That's not who I am." But sometimes we gotta go outside that box because we're missing out on things that can make us better.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Ms. J, that's funny you guys say that because I thought I was the only one did stuff like this. Sometime in the morning, I get up in the morning and I ask God, I say, Lord Jesus, you know how I am. You know, please help me control this mouth of mine.
you know, you got to know yourself. That's being your authentic self. And you, as long as you honor your authentic self, including the imperfections, you're doing the best you can do for you.
Yeah.
And we got to get into that, just honoring that authentic self. Some days we wake up, we don't feel like talking. I got days I'm like, do not call me.
Don't talk. Don't do it. Do not talk.
Yeah,
do not
I shut down on social media.
Yes.
It's not a social media day for me.
Yes.
You have to have a quiet time to give your brain time to process. If you're always moving and always just thinking, running, and don't take any time to pray and meditate, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yes,
amen. Okay, well, we have another caller. We only got 5 minutes left on the show, but let's let him in, okay?
Yeah, we'll do it really quick.
Okay. Hello, caller. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Carmen. I'm calling from Danville, Virginia.
Hey, Ms. Carmen, you got a question or a statement?
No, actually, I'm sick, so excuse my voice. I just wanted to call in and tell Mike, I'm a friend of his, actually. I just wanted to tell him that I'm very proud of him. You know, he doesn't understand or realize, but he's a meter motivation for me throughout the course of my day. You know, it's a good book, a good read. I support him. I always tell people good things about him, you know, as far as the book included. And just wanted to let him know, you know, thanks for helping me out, you know. That's
no
about
doubt,
it.
Carmen. No doubt, Carmen.
Blessings to you, Ms. Carmen.
Thank you, Carmen. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. You know, like you said, it's not about having wealth. It's about, you know, being rich in spirit. I just said that yesterday. And he puts up with all of my antics. And I just want to tell you, I love you, brother. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Blessings to you, sister. Blessings to you.
Thank you,
you
so
know,
much.
That's a powerful statement within itself because the fact that even though you're going, and I know this because we got the same brother, you know, you're doing your struggle to maintain yourself, but you still have time to deal with other people's struggles. So that says a lot about your character, not just as a man, but as an individual, as a human being,
yeah.
You know, your humanity. And so that was really cool that Ms. Carmen called in because a lot of times we get so distracted with our own survival, we lose our humanity.
Yeah.
So I just really think that's really an awesome thing. So bless
I want
you.
Excuse me for cutting. I tell you, I'm imposed about apologize.
You know what? You want to time out. We'll talk to you later. Go ahead.
I just want to thank you guys for giving me this platform, the talk, and you guys asked me the questions and give me a chance to really, like, put this out a little bit more because I think it's like a diamond in the rough. Best kept secret. I'm my own manager. I'm my own agent. I get burnt out sometimes. Sometimes I shut down. It might be for a whole month. But I'm constantly at it. And, yes, I do help others on a regular basis. I think this is a form of a positive distraction for me. So one thing I learned in the penitentiary is when I took time to help others, listen to them, and give them feedback, it's like I was really talking to myself.
Absolutely. I know.
And I learned that once again, the power of perception. Once, when you give to someone else, it's like you're planting a seed for yourself to go back.
Amen.
And
that's a manifestation of a manifestation, I'm telling you.
That's
but
right.
We got a couple of minutes, so if you got one positive thing to say to the audience, not a long one, but a positive thing, because we're running out of time and I want you to get cut off, what would that be, sweetheart?
Okay, y'all ready? Everybody ready? Everybody ready? Here we go.
Ready. Woo-hoo.
Here we go. Here I go. The universe conspires in your favor. Regardless what happens in your life, it's in your best interest. Y'all keep up the positive perceptions and watch what happens. Watch what happens. And
that is so true. And Mr. John L. Brown, how you going to follow?
Well, I can't follow that one, but I can say something. Michael,
yes,
it was really nice, man, talking with you. You know, thank you for coming on the show. Thank Ms. J for having you on the show. You know, this has been a really blessing to a lot of people. There's a board still. We have lots and lots and lots and lots of people listening at this talk show. Thank you, man. That's all I can say. Thank you. And back to you, Ms. J.
Yeah, you know, I really appreciate you coming on too, brother. It was I knew it was a good thing when I talked to Brother Bryce, and so I'm so honored that you came on, and I am so excited about your book. I got to shoot you an email with some other information about some other stuff.
Okay.
But I thank you for being a blessing to all of us. I thank you for all the young people that called in, young ladies that know you and know your greatness. And may you be blessed as you continue on your journey. And
thank you guys for
joining us in the audience. We appreciate the people that called in and spoke with us. We appreciate you. And together, we're going to make a difference. Peace and blessings.
Yes, peace and blessings. Thank you, Bryce.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. All right. Good night. Bye.